Welcome back to Breach Print Podcast. I have Brian with me and a guest, Trey. Trey, where are you from?
I'm from Austin, Texas.
Awesome. And you were recently playing a somewhat infamous crew, Tull crew.
I played Harold Tull Artillerist every round in the Houston tournament early January.
And how'd it go?
Three wins. So, pretty well.
So good, yeah.
I think that was the first time.
We'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah, that was the first time I think Tull had been brought to a tournament down in Houston. Although some of the players down there had played Tull, but that was the first time he'd actually been brought to a tournament.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a pretty competitive meta down there to bring a new master and just kind of come in and take the top with it.
It can be, definitely. You got a whole mix of every level of player, but there's a couple people down there that are very, very good at the game.
I've been playing a lot of Tull up here, 16 games-ish, I think, under my belt with Tull since the rules have come out.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very strong, so to anyone listening, I definitely agree. He is definitely very, very, very good, but hopefully after we talk today, we'll hear about what is good and what can kind of counter... What can you do to stop Tull? Because there are weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And before we get into anything official, I'm just going to go ahead and do... Because this is Tull time. So anybody who's watched Home Improvement, there you go.
That's actually the name of my crew.
Of course.
I do want to paint the entire crew up like the cast from Home Improvement, so... Everything's going to be Binford, and there's going to be Al Borland with all the flannel, and Heidi make an appearance as Louisa riding a bike.
Awesome.
Yeah, if I'm good enough to paint it, though. I might have to get like a professional painter to do it for me.
Yeah, ambitious. So, yeah, let's go over some of the kind of bread and butter of Tull and what makes him strong.
Well, Trey, since you took him to an official victory recently, what was kind of the list you brought and the core of your crew when you bring Harold Tull into the field?
I partially took Tull like this Tull to the tournament more to get reps in with him. I wasn't necessarily expecting to get a full 3-0 win, but I took Harold Tull Artillerist with the King's Wall. Louisa, John Watson with Leadline Coat, Judd and Honey, a Sapper, and a Rocketeer, and that took that all three rounds.
Interesting that you're taking Judd and Honey. I mean, if you've listened or seen some of the Goonhammer stuff, he's really low ranked compared to some of the other things you can bring. Is there any reason why you brought Judd?
I did want to see how well he did. He is 6 stones. Mostly that's why. 4 6-stones, he's a steal, in my opinion. He can stay in the back. He's an amazing amazing vendetta target because it's very difficult for anyone to get back to him. And he can very easily just do the 1 to 2 points you need to do to get the vendetta score without actually killing your vendetta target. And then the rest of the crew can deal with mopping up the model as it just stands in the back. And his spray and pray allows him to just stay safe and in the back. Blow at the Hell could have some easy use into a lot of different crews. And if you can get it, I didn't manage to do it myself, but just theoretically, and obviously your mileage may vary, the compressed nets out of the Honeycomb Watcha, if you get that off early, especially on something like Wedge, if the enemy crew is bunched, that could easily drain their cards something serious if you can get their compressed nets off. Especially given the fact it's an after resolving trigger. You literally have to make the TN, so of an 8 or higher of masks, and suddenly you have a Shockwave 1 in the middle of their crew for staggered.
And that's only if you don't have line of sight. I mean, that could be a 3 of masks if you have... line of sight to where you're shooting.
True. Yeah. You just, as long as you can have draw that one little line over to one person, and you can get it up there. Then yeah, you can drop a stagger damage 1, move 12 into hit, 4, 5, 6 models, depending on how clumped they are. But he's not the best model in the game by any means. He's not the best model in the crew, even close. But he is also 6 stones. And for that, I think he's worth it.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there.
Yeah. Not to say that I would include him in every list. And I mostly... I took this list just to see what each model did in each into different crews and in different schemes pools. But I think that he is easily takeable as cheap as he is, and you can get your value out of him depending on what you want him to do. And his signal flare, if nothing else, is an easy little bit of move or healing. Might as well have a little bit more of that in the crew. From 18 inches away, too. Like, it doesn't matter who's suffering, you can get some use out of the signal flare. So for 6 stones, he's good. I don't know if I'll take him in every crew going forward, but I will never not consider him.
So far, I will say, jumping on everything you said, the fact that he is 6 stones makes that Vendetta so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can hit especially weaker targets. And I know you mentioned, like, in Wedge, he's great to be able to drop to a compressed net, but if you are bringing Louisa, which I don't always bring, I think that's where we're going to differ a little bit. A second activation, Judd and Honey can fire into the opponent's deployment zone, even on corner.
True, because you can use ride along or hop on.
Yep, one ride along is all he needs. Mm-hmm. He can then push if he wants, and if you're doing with Louisa, you'll have a ski marker up there for him to be able to walk up a little bit more to where he needs to go to still be within 2 of the ski marker, fire, discard a card for heat of battle, and fire again.
He doesn't have heat of battle. Deal.
True.
So he doesn't have heat of battle.
But he can still walk and fire that net off.
Yes, he can. No, yeah, totally. So you could do that. I mean, at that point, you have Judd up about as up front as you're going to get him, which is a little risky, but...
He doesn't need to move after that.
True. Although usually, the one corner session I've had, he didn't need to move after the first turn because the scrum came to the middle of the board and he could get that already anyway. So keeping him back and safe is what I typically did. But also... Have second activation, you suddenly drop the cluster net on corner. Sounds awful. That sounds awful.
Yeah,
that is a great idea. Not considered.
The one drawback is that he is an enforcer, so if you don't have a high mask, then you can't guarantee it.
True.
So.
Although, well, you have to have an 8, which is not the highest, but it is not the easiest thing to get either. I fully acknowledge that. Although the shooting fish in a barrel is also good, especially on like Wedge or Standard, because if you can put that close to the enemy, you can first drop the shooting fish in a barrel to get an 8 back, and then if you happen to have an 8 in your discard, you can then use the compressed nets. So he has a lot of use for 6 stones. Like that's my big thing. He's dirt cheap for what he can do.
Yep, my 5-second opinion. I didn't rate him well. I tried him in Anglers. I like him a lot now. So, definitely don't sleep on him. He's just as good. I think he does pretty much the exact same thing in Anglers. You have similar tools to get him pushed up. So, yeah, he's awesome. What about the rest?
What else are you bringing in, like, on your... You said you brought that same list. If you were to go to another game... What do you think are the must-takes for Herald Tull?
I think that the King's Wall and a coded John Watson is pretty much the two must-takes in my book. The two of them standing within 2 of each other become impossible to move outside of things like obeys and stuff like that, because they both have laugh off, they both have armor. You're taking a neg flip to hit Watson, and you're taking double negs to damage on King's Wall. So it's... Well, actually, no, only single negs hits the King's Wall, but that thing is defense 7, 9 wounds with healing access. It's difficult to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. If for anything, any of your scheme running schemes, then you just... Louisa is almost impossible to actually stop. You don't need her, I don't think, but she, I didn't, but you could theoretically actually put a coat on her and she becomes the tankiest model in the crew, almost. Defense 6, armor 2 is ridiculous. She probably shouldn't be able to have a coat. Or at least not be defense 6, because... But yeah, you can't stop her from running, so you can run, so you can move over models, so you can't, and using Claim the Line, she, and Don't Mind Me, she can interact, so she, you cannot stop her from running schemes. You pretty much physically can't. And the fact that she can, right, or severe. No severe, no, and is immune to staggered, which is kind of crazy, to be honest. And her bonus action is there, it's good. It's not the best thing on the planet, but it's free. If you don't need to run schemes, then you don't necessarily need Louisa. I just took her because I wanted to see what she could do in all the every scheme pool. And I found a use for her in every game, but I definitely didn't think that she was necessarily worth the ace cost every time. That being said, hop-on is being able to pull any of your models forward, assuming you're only taking cav models, is also very good.
It claim the land with that hop-on trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Put you where you need to go, and I think just emphasizes the amount of AP efficiency that the crew can have.
Mm-hmm.
With just one action, she's moving another model, she's moving herself up, and she's dropping a scheme marker that will initiate a heat of battle for any number of cavalier models that you have.
Or herself.
All with a 4.
Yeah.
4 tomes, mm-hmm. but she can also stone for it because she's a henchman.
And theoretically, she could move 6... claim the land, drop it, and then heat a battle to go another 6. You can go 18 with basically no effort.
Yeah. You can move, or you can interact, then claim the land to move, and you drop in your second scheme marker, and mm-hmm. then you can heat a battle to move again to set yourself up for the next turn for more scheming.
She can score sabotage herself, she can score set the trap herself, she can, like, there's a ton of things that she can do. That kind of leads me into, it's a little cheaper, or not, I can't remember exactly the cost, but the Rocketeers are also
7.
Blisteringly fast. There's honestly almost no reason they should be quite as fast as they are. Move 6, flight with Onward, and Heat of Battle. I've had one of those run every part of Breakthrough by himself. Without basically being able to be stopped. The only downside is they can't get out of melee.
Yeah, you'd have to take the disengage or a different type of ability. Yeah. Or if you're Tull 1, you just activate Tull to have them move.
Yeah. Or theoretically, the Rocketeer can up we go and chuck people out of melee with themselves and then go off and do their turn without disengaging. That requires an opposed duel, which is always risky. But if they can pull it off, then you can just throw them 3 inches away from you and then continue on with your day. Also,
and they have lighted up.
Yeah, just get rid of markers for reasons. Not even destructible markers, just markers.
Non-scheme, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much any marker on the board within mm-hmm. 10 inches or 14, I think, because it's a shockwave too, so you can place it
I think it'd be
within 2 of that.
13, because you'd be able to go 10 plus the distance, plus the about roughly an inch of a shockwave marker plus another 2. So 13 inches, and it's just gone. Also, in one of my games, I had a Rocketeer just come from the back in the side of the board and hit someone twice with an up we go and kill it. Like, they can come from all the way downtown and still suplex multiple people if they need to. Now, I did notice that there was a bit of an overlap on duties between the Rocketeer and Louisa. Louisa is a more sure thing, but Rocketeers are faster, so it kind of depends on what you need and what you think you're going to get.
As I'm for myself, unless there is an entire scheme pool, like it's scheme type things with all interacting and whatnot, I usually have been leaving Louisa out and just bringing double Rocketeer because that allows you to bring like double Rocketeer, Hexbow, and Judd, and just more stones and that. So more firepower for more utility with the Rocketeers. So
yeah, and
Louisa's great, mm-hmm. but Rocketeers can do almost the same stuff that she can.
I think that the one thing that Louisa can do that the Rocketeers can't is play schemes towards the center of the board. Rocketeers do not want to be in the scrum, not really. But usually, you can pick if you have a choice, you can pick between scheming outside of the fight in the middle if you need to.
True.
Yeah, and let's not glance over the Hexbows, because I think they are a big part of the heat to this crew.
I haven't taken them yet. They do seem good. I probably should. The thing that is, the Ruined Quiver, unless you wait until later in the game, does seem like it's basically just a once per turn free discard, because your enemy's just not going to let you, unless they only have good cards, is not going to let you declare their free trigger, because they have a, their Blessed Longbow has a pile of good triggers. There's not a bad one on there, really.
When your worst one is the Blaze trigger, in my opinion, just to add more burning, which is already built in. Cleansing Strike is situational, but when you are sitting with Focus 2, it's great to just shoot at them anyways, because they're going to spend Focus to stop you.
Or fast.
Puncture is always good, even though they don't have a great damage track. But
you might as well go for the 4 if you can. I think,
and then the one that everyone hates, King's Glory.
If you can, yeah, if you have the right model in range, either Tull or Sonya, if you take them with Witch Hunter, getting an extra shot out of your master is a lot. Also, the fact that they kind of get stuck in melee if they don't have a, what is that, a 7 of masks is a little rough, because they can't shoot in melee, which is not great, but is the fact that if you can keep them free, a 2-3-4 with blasts, potentially getting Puncture or King's Glory is, yeah, no, they... Very interesting, and probably really good. I just haven't had a chance to field them yet.
They do have Run and Gun, for those that have probably not heard of them, but everyone will have heard of them. So they're charging up, so they're most likely getting 2 full shots on whatever they activate, especially early on,
right,
with 12-inch range. Charge up, 17-inch threat. So early on, yes, that the Rune Quiver doesn't do as much, but honestly, just hand pressure can be huge. I've actually had to come up way more, and where like the opponent just does not want to discard a card. You flipped hot, you flipped a 12, you're going to hit. So like, well, I'm not going to discard my 10s and ups to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So take another shot. So either way, you're getting cards out of the hand. They do have target practice if you really need it to get rid of scheme markers.
I don't foresee that happening a lot, but if you need it, you need it. To have on the card,
at least. Yeah, I have done it once.
And how, like, what, you said, like 14 games or something like that?
16 games now, right, with Tull.
But it could deny an enemy a point, and that's worth its weight in gold sometimes.
And if they are charging up next to an already forward King's Wall or another scheme marker, usually I'm getting 3 shots out of a Hexbow.
Mm-hmm.
Possible 4th out of King because of King's Glory. Sometimes with Blast, sometimes not. That's just kind of a cool I got it this turn. I usually don't need the Blast off the Hexbows, but it's just so much AP into a 7 stone model.
Well, I've also heard the Expert Marksman upgrade is pretty strong if you're running into Armor Crews, since they have the built-in tome.
The built-in tome is good, that's true.
I have run them in for that, for tech.
Mm-hmm.
Literally brought it in against my Tiri game, just because there's armor everywhere, or against Foundry with all the armor.
Mm-hmm.
Rail Golem does not like to see it activate early and just pump a bunch of anti-armor shots into it.
Especially given the fact that a lot of the time the armor models are going to have low defense, so you're almost guaranteeing a free armor pen hit. Into that same thing, I also was considering that upgrade on Tull himself, just because of his grenade launcher ignoring armor and just blasting a bunch of armor ignoring damage sounds really nice.
Oh, that is such a good attack. I know we haven't really talked about Tull himself yet. We've been just his crew. But he himself is no slouch when on the artillerist side for the one that comes with that damage.
Yeah, it's the ram trigger that's the nest that makes it like pull all together, because you can do was it a 2-3-2-4-5-2-4-6 and then a 1 and then pulse 1, and then if you get concentrated fire it's another 1 and 1 to everyone else. And honestly, separating out that the amount of damage ticks can help a lot. You can either suck more stones down or get past armor better.
Yeah, Tull the Artillerist loves that focus, that spiky damage track.
Yes.
There should be no reason he has a 10-inch 2-4-6 that also does just immediate ping damage with a secondary ping damage if you have that bonus down already, because he's going to drop that artillery strike first.
Yeah.
Which also then AP efficiency allows one of your totems to take a random pot shot, which the totems are a 1-2-3 blast on everything, for everyone listening if you haven't looked at them. Stat 4, but more often than not, that stat 4, when you're just taking those pot shots, the opponent does not want to cheat on those stat 4. So if you'd flip moderately good and they just flip a little under, they don't want to waste those high cards on a 1-2-3, and they just put through so much extra damage.
Although I found that the fact that they recalibrating and always ready with T, the fact that they have no TN is also really good. I've scored points off of recalibrating ski markers. I've pushed assault markers into position to kill models with recalibrating, and the fact that they have a no TN end condition and heal 2 just on the card.
Yeah.
And resupply. Resupply on the front of the card is... There's nothing bad about the Gaikin cannons, and there's two of them.
They are a weakness of the crew, but until we get into the second half of this episode, I just dare to anyone to figure out how to actually get to them because they sit in the deployment zone.
Maybe on corner, they might wander out a little, but that's about it. But for Artillerist Tull, which is what I have the most experience with, or any experience at all, I guess, honestly, the things I've gotten the most use out of are get to position and heavy salvo. The fact that he's just, upon activation, it's not a bonus, he doesn't have a range, it's just two models on the board move 3 inches, which means that you can't lock him down in melee, because even if you stagger him, he'll scoot himself out. And then if you get anyone else where they don't want to be, they'll just get positioned back to where they need to be. And then Heavy Salvo, I had a game against Damien 1 that would have been really rough, except for the fact that every round that he showed himself, I threw Lohith into a forest with staggered. The backside of the forest with staggered. It probably shouldn't ignore terrain.
My thoughts are that, yes, and again, agreeing that he's overtuned.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he is not, because like you said, 6 inches ignoring the terrain, and they gain damage, and the game staggered, and if you get the trigger, you get to do good for laugh to cycle and draw.
Mm-hmm. Now that, because you can theoretically throw someone on the other side of a building, on the other side of a forest, in the middle of a forest with in the middle of severe terrain with no way with staggered, that model is just out for probably a round or two at least if you picked right.
Yeah, it is the most utility that you need in a DPSing crew.
Mm-hmm.
For just, oh, I have a fast crew. Guess what? You're just back in your own deployment zone. You're not in this anymore. Stops a lot of charges.
Yeah.
Keeps you free to keep shooting. I have actually used you have your target. Especially if they do have models within 4 of what I know is a low defense model or something I'm going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that focus fire trigger to possibly force them to come towards him so that when Tull takes his next 2 shots, they're taking a bunch of damage.
Right.
But that's probably the least use thing I've done for him.
Because the MFGL and the heavy salvo are just so good.
The artillery strike itself, most of the time I've used it to just tactically place an assault marker near something that's already activated.
Right.
Or a couple models that have already activated.
Mm-hmm.
But that cleared out has denied a number of points because it's any markers within 2 of it. So it's very easy to just, oh, you're not getting sabotage anymore.
Right.
You know, I saved Tull till last. Both your markers are gone. Leave the marks out of there.
Right, and I could also see just the fact that they have marker removal built in on the you don't need a tech pick or anything. It's not limited to anything. It's just your master has the ability to remove markers. Means that Sonya to Sandeep to a lot of people are going to be real upset with his ability to just on a 4-tome just get rid of. 2-inch, basically.
It's markers within 2 inches of a shockwave.
At range 18, loss ignoring shockwave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ignoring line of sight. So all those things in the rules that say you can't drop a marker over here behind this wall. No.
Yeah.
It just ignores line of sight within 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I can remove any markers I need to.
Yeah. There's also the fact...
A bit on the extra side.
Yeah. There's also the fact that the bombardment is move 14 as long as both of the... Sorry, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but the move 14 duel on the bombardment is ignoring armor for some reason. And then you get...
Oh, yep.
So, move as long as their cannons are increased, it's move 14, move 14 duel or suffer 2 damage ignoring armor, and he puts out basically, but over the course of the turn, there will be 1 plus turn number amount of those out, so...
And right now in GG3, there's a lot of strats that mm-hmm. you need to be in certain areas. At least 2 of them. Mm-hmm. You have certain areas of the board that are there to be controlled, and those bombardment markers eat away at a crew very rapidly.
Yeah.
2 damage on multiple models, usually after their hand is drained because it's end of the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Being move 14, it hurts.
Yeah.
And it just eats away at everything.
Last 2 games I played, my opponent's hand was not kind to them. They did not flip very well. Right up until they made they made every single one of my bombardment duels. I just would not. All of their like 8 ups, like half of their 8 ups in their deck were on those simple duels. Which I mean, to be honest, I'll take because I'd rather that than their attack flips or something. But no, there's not a bad part of Toll's card except for maybe the. Defense 5, but you can usually figure that out.
Other things that are great about them, just before we leave Toll, because mm-hmm. right now we're just on exposing how great and what you can do this crew for, is he is hard to kill with mm-hmm. 13 wounds.
Yeah.
If you need to have him hold a spot and you can throw the Leadline Coat on him
mm-hmm.
and you don't need anyone elsewhere, you can create that ball of death between him, John Watson, and the King's Wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better with Dead Silent to do that because Dead Silent brings the concealing and severe terrain around him, even mm-hmm. though he's got less wounds.
And
but
I haven't actually considered this, but you've played it more. Can Dead Silent Toll jump to the wall? No, the wall only functions as a ski marker for Heat of Battle, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you can't use that for out of sight, but you can put ski markers down other ways to reduce the damage and jump him out of that threat range, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I'm using Watson just at least to drop 1 ski marker,
mm-hmm.
or there's enough other models to initially move up and drop at least that 1 to keep him that getaway if he really needs it.
Right.
Herald Tull 2, if you haven't looked at him yet and you're out there and you're like, oh, Chillish is amazing, he's the best thing ever. Fits very well into some of the things that Tull 1 does not like. Tull 1 does not like Nekoma.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Black Blood into a crew with lots of min 3, stat 7s. That's harder for them to deal with, while Dead Silent, a little bit better, because you have... It's a high TN, but behind enemy lines, mm-hmm. Colette's basically trick to maneuver things around. He does have a 2-3-5 that can ignore hard to kill with the trigger on it. So if you find a way to drop a bunch of scheme markers, it can be very deadly because you can get actually a 4-5-7 mm-hmm. off of that. But his biggest things are his cycling. Anytime within line of sight, a Cavalier model does the Heat of Battle ability, discarding a card, you get to draw a card, which gets you so much utility and all that extra free AP. to focus, to walk, to whatever you need to do, because it's only on general actions, so it's not on, like, taking extra shots. But generally, taking that concentrate action, for me, has been the bread and butter for it, because I'm getting then a focus for the next turn, so I'm going to start focused, and I've already shaped my hand for the next model to go. End of turn one, you're sitting with a stacked hand and a bunch of focus, ready to shoot down anything turn two.
That's fair.
He does have stealth. Mm-hmm. Both Tulls have gunfighter, and Harold Tull, Dead Silent, has Fog of War. Other more FU to ski or marker-based crews.
Right.
Because he can also make it hazardous. He can push things around. He can get focused out. It's not unusual with Tull 2 for me to have a focus to King's Wall for turn 2. And then No Man's Land until end phase. If the target is a non-hazardous marker, enemy models treat the area within 2 of the target as hazardous. So it can't do pyre markers, you can't do pit traps, you can't do it on some of those, but any other marker on the board, for the most part, except for the strat markers, you can make that hazardous, including blow it to hell markers, which can't be removed for any reason, except for, you know, your own model doing right. Blow it to hell. So if you use Judd and Honey, you drop it out there, and then you can also make it hazardous.
Hazardous. Mm-hmm. Also, the reconnaissance trigger on the smoke bomb is pretty good. Could set up the yes. enemy stack pretty well for your for whatever his turn's going to be.
Most of the time, I've always found myself going for the quick reflexes because the smoke bomb is a push models and heal two. So being able to heal two models a turn, two for a couple of fives. And that combos with if your opponent has come in, and the first action for me is usually Fog of War on a marker near one of my guys. And then you smoke bomb secondly, because then I'm going to push him in that hazardous aura. And sometimes you can do up to like 4 pings unresisted damage, and then they're still sitting there. So terrifying models and things like that you don't really want to deal with or have super high stats,
right.
You can unresisted kill them with hazardous.
Yeah, honestly, very fair. I think I'll probably end up running Artillerist over Dead Silent for the majority of the time, just because I think he's more my style, but I definitely think that Dead Silent is can keep up with Artillerist as far as use. He just has a very different play style.
Oh yeah,
but it's a good one.
It is different. Way it's more controlling,
mm-hmm.
More just sit in the center and dictate what your opponent's going to do. But it was a lot of fun. I also prefer Artillerist.
Mm-hmm.
but Dead Silent takes a little more work, but has different strengths.
Yeah,
because you lose the artillery marker, so you lose some of that line of sight ignore and some of those other abilities on your crew. Have you brought the sapper at all?
I have brought a sapper. I brought a sapper for every game I've played with him so far. It's not... we said that a lot of the models outside of Vertol are a little bit much... I think the sapper is definitely good for his five cost. Duck and cover would be a gross ability if it wasn't on a five-stone minion, just because it ignores so many things. It hasn't really honestly come up yet, but it I'm assuming that it will when I take them more. Stealth, heat of battle, quick getaway. If your enemy tries to counter him with some other equally costed model and he just hits him for one or two, he will immediately scoot 5 inches away from them and go and do whatever he actually wanted to do. And one of the big things I think I get out of having him is the exploit weaknesses built-in radio to command thing, so that you can get 5 or less out of your discard from your each of your cannons, and then another 5 out of the sapper. So you can continue to fuel the heat of battle easily. I haven't had actually a huge amount of trouble actually fueling the heat of battle with Artillery List, which I thought I might with the fact that he doesn't draw cards when he uses it. He's using them, but you just look at a mediocre hand and go, okay, I'm just going to get a bunch of extra AP out of this instead. And,
yeah.
And he's a stat 5, 2, 3 blast, 3 blast. It's there. It's a 5-stone minion, but he's just running around. He's got extra. He's got basically 3 AP if you put down the right. If you put the artillery markers or scheme marker in the right place, he gets a card back in your hand for heat of battle. So if it worse comes to worse, at least he's fueling his own. Have not used disrupt supply line yet, but I mean a 3 positive flips against willpower. It's your with exploit weakness. You probably could at least make them cheat on it.
I have used it before. Mm-hmm. I actually used it when I was trying them into the Clampets a couple times. Or if they do have weak willpower, it is a very good way to get that card draw or card drain, that hand drain on your opponent. If they're actually close by, that scheme marker is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, draw sequence is usually always good unless you're playing into Nelly. Or yeah. Parker.
Yeah, one of my games recently was against Nelly, which was a little rough, but I was still learning the crew. I won, but it was a close game. Nelly with a pair of guild mages is...
Nelly's...
I think
go ahead.
Nelly slept on, honestly, in my opinion. My brother plays her not exclusively, but very often, and she's... with a pair of guild mages, it becomes very difficult to actually kill any of their models.
I actually think Nelly is one of the harder matchups for this crew because your scheme markers that you like are used against you,
mm-hmm.
and they have Nelly 1 has a pseudo obey.
True, yeah.
That can make you do stuff, and Nelly 2 has, you know, her own shenanigans that's kind of hard to deal with, but Nelly 1 I think is a decent counter to tell.
Yeah,
well, not great.
But I will say I did against the Nelly. I played against Nelly 1, and I did actually find myself using the walking cannons, Raleigh ready with T more often against that crew than anything else I've played, because they've got the condition removal, and she hands out distracted and stunned like candy, which is rough.
Yeah, John Watson, who we also haven't talked about a lot. Well, we have, but haven't.
Yeah,
being hard to kill that. 8-inch bonus action.
Yeah.
Targeting, ignoring line of sight, all that shenanigans that has the trigger to draw, gain shielded, or move. You can get 2 of those actions for 3.
Yeah, he...
3 masks.
Yeah.
But
it's... No, he probably should have a couple of triggers, but he used to choose 2 out of 3 normally what are normal dislike triggers on his... The emergency siret. Take 2 of these and call it in the morning is honestly a gross trigger. Because shielded, draw card, move, I've used all of those a lot.
It's another way to get your hexbows out of engagement, mm-hmm. heal them back up after they've been charged. That shielded is great to keep up your armor models. The drawing a card is always amazing.
Right.
And it's on a 1-2-3 heal.
As a bonus, yeah, it's a thing he just happens to do on his turn. Quick cure is good. I find myself forgetting the assist action a lot in a normal game, but the fact that he can just basically do it for free means that I've been and at 8 inches means I've been doing it a lot more with him. Into Nelly, I used it to get rid of distracted. And I can see it using its burning or, you know, any number of other things.
Yeah, the 8-inch away assist is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's absolutely no reason that a 7-stone support master, enforcer, should have a stat 6, 2-3-5, ignoring hard to kill, hard to wound, and armor.
That has a trigger to heal.
Yeah. It's not built in, so it may or may not come in every time, but he... is weirdly good at shredding rezzers, which I'm not sure was the intent. but like students, the different students from Stuk don't really enjoy the melee with Watson because he ignores all of their defensive tech pretty much.
I've had one game where I took John Watson. He was almost dead, mm-hmm. and thankfully hard to kill.
Right.
And then he activated, and between his bonus and his medical tools, he charged in and killed the model and healed up to full.
That does not sound
Isn't
unlikely.
Cervantes?
Hmm?
I think that was Cervantes when I was trying out my anglers.
It was Cervantes. And I have put the hurt down on Lohith using that same tactic after he came in on me. There's been multiple models where he's just gotten lucky and, okay, you're on top of me. I have Heat of Battle and Grit Sawbones, so I heal an additional plus one until I'm up above half. I'm going to swing on you twice, then bonus action to heal myself and get shielded and keep alive. And it's hard to take down. Yeah. Even without the King's Wall, he can be... He's a nine-stone enforcer almost always. He's going to have that lead line coat.
Yeah, he's a nine-stone enforcer that also happens to have Laugh Off in armor one. Because you're
on top of an entire full card.
I'm not positive I would ever not take a coat on Watson. He needs to... Because I feel like you could focus him down and bring him down if he wasn't being supported and you could, like, steal him, like, pull him, bring it, or whatever else you can do. But with Laugh Off, he just becomes very difficult, especially next to the wall, to do anything to.
Yeah, there was one game with the Anglers where Mel was able to kill Watson in one round, but I'm pretty sure he did not have the coat on, so...
Oh, he did.
Just
been hard to kill. It's almost impossible.
Mel got that severe... super high-end crit strike damage and took him from 7-1 and then finished him off the second action.
Yep.
Yeah, the fact...
But if you can't do that, it is very difficult.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of have to get lucky because he's, if nothing else, even standing in the middle of an open field, he's got Warning Growl. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joker still hurts him.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, just up to a point, you actually try to not get bonuses on your damage. You're just trying to fish for that red, which is weirdly on point for anglers.
Well, honestly, it's a tactic I use a lot, is just red Joker fishing. But because
if you're not going to get the positive, you might as well
negatives.
Yeah, if you're not going to get the positive, you might as well get as far deep into your hand as your deck as possible to try and get that red.
Yeah, so if you're going into Tull, sometimes Volume of Fire, as long as you have a way to actually hit models around the King's Wall or John Watson, so you have that like initial plus to hit off of your gun or whatever, can be great, because Mint 2 suddenly spikes on some of those like Explorer models, Rough Riders, things like that, to Samurai, spikes to 6-7 damage.
And another thing is... just like a cheap lure model, the King's Wall only has a 2-inch aura, so if you have a focus, you can lure pretty much anything out of that aura and then hopefully try to kill him.
True. If Watson's got the coat, then you can't get him, but you can potentially get something else out of there.
Right.
If you're taking Artillerialist, Tull himself has a 7 willpower, and Dead Silent does have stealth, so getting the master out of there is going to be a chore. But if they have Sapper or they took Louisa, kept them nearby, yeah, you could definitely drag them out and kill them. It's what I'm worried about if I ever have to fight Damien 2, is whatever models that aren't Watson or the Wall just getting dragged out and murdered. Hey, I don't know, actually, I'm not sure what his stat on his pull, whatever he... I can't remember what the attack is that he pulls people out with, but if he's got... If it's stat 7, he might be able to actually get Tull out, and that's a problem.
Yeah, Damien's bonus action, I believe is what it is, that does that and can pull you, but it's a good reason, if you are going into him, to keep the coat on Tull as well.
Against Damien it probably would. And then if you took smaller models and just ran them around the edges, if Damien wants to go and kill those instead of going after your Death Ball, then, you know, honestly, up to a certain point, I'm okay with it.
So I know we've been going on, actually, I think we've talked about every model in the crew at this point.
I think so.
They're all amazing. They all have too many abilities. I will say this, I've played them a lot.
Yeah,
they're all overtuned.
Each one, I think, each one on its own is a little much, but when you take them all together, they just add up. The King's Wall probably shouldn't have Daze built in on its Shield Slam, because that's a lot. Luisa shouldn't be defense 6, and my brother says she might not need Don't Mind Me, but I'm kind of iffy on that one. Watson probably shouldn't be defense 6 and ignore armor, hard kill, and hard wound. Rocketeers are frankly too fast.
We've touched on them all. Yeah,
like every single model in this has just one or two little things that just put it above what its stone cost is currently, in my opinion. And then when you have the entire crew that does that, it kind of adds up, snowballs a little bit.
I say we're getting into this, and so far we've just been saying how amazing Tull is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to make sure we touch on, I mean, after 16 games, I have figured out some things I know I struggle against.
Mm-hmm.
Some I haven't seen yet in this theory crafting, but some things I know I've had issues with. So I really want to make sure we touch on everything to help everyone out there that's going to be facing Tull.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you seen as weaknesses in the crew?
Focusing down specific models and crew that even have some area, like some amount of healing, can be difficult, I found. Against Nelly with multiple guild mages, I was discarding cards, she was discarding cards, and it just ended up being very difficult to actually kill anything unless I put probably, frankly, too much effort into it. Also, my last game during the tournament was against Damien 1, and it was partially up to card flips, but I spent, since probably starting in turn 2, I spent almost, like, most of my crew's energy trying to bring Damien himself down, and between his healing and card draw, he finally died turn 5. I mean, that dude's tough, but they have a lot of trouble focusing single target, especially models that have stone use down, especially if there's a good amount of healing. If they're bunched up, it took like a couple of Tull's AP to murder Marco and almost kill several Stolstone Gammon. As soon as it's low cost models clumped up, he will just erase them. So if you have low cost, don't clump up. And honestly, your higher cost models with any amount of actual tank, especially stone users, should be able to hold their own, is from what I've seen. So engage him with your high cost models or then tougher models, and then keep your low cost models spread out, and that'll help a lot. Also, just even little bits of healing, anything to help against his just AoE plink helps. My last game I played was against Dashiell 2. That my King's Wall got brought to be got knocked out to being a sapper, and Watson died turn 3. His ability, the Dashiell 2's ability to make you ignore negs, makes the King's Wall's abilities offsets the King's Wall ability a lot, and means that the Watson can be brought down fairly quickly, especially with stat 7 min 3 models. Now obviously that's not going to help most crews, but Dashiell is hard for them to deal with once he gets stuck in. Especially with the min 3 can make that difficult.
Yeah, min 3 models definitely can go in. I will agree with you that most of the time, I will say the majority of my games, I have basically tabled the opponent. And that's just for sheer volume of actions and lots of 2 damage, 2 damage, 2 damage, 2 damage, a little bit of blast damage. So staying separated, taking things on one-on-one, staying away from the King's Wall. That bubble, if you do not have to have the center of the board or wherever the King's Wall, Watson, and Tull are at, don't even bother them. The King's Wall is a 9-point dead lump in the center if you don't have to be in the center. Once he's scored his point for a Corvert or whatever he needs to do, if you can just leave him be, ignore him and kill everything else.
Yeah. Now, in most of my games, Watson's also going to be nearby, but if Watson and the Kingswall are just kind of standing in the center, then you can, and you're playing the outsides, then that makes them make a very difficult decision trying to where they need to go. So yeah, spreading. I think that Toll does very well into other death balls. Because it's just because with Kingswall and Watson together, and then Toll just putting fire into whatever your clump is, it's gonna go sideways pretty quick.
Shockwaves can be troublesome. Lots of anything with lots of hand pressure, Jackdaw discarding your hand, you're not gonna be getting those extra heat of battle abilities. Shockwaves, because certain areas of Tull's crew like to clump up, usually my totems are still pretty close together because they don't tend to move a lot. Things like to be within 2 inches of a scheme marker on Tull's side, so shockwaves can go around to biting them in the butt.
That's true, yeah.
Especially Lazarus, other ignoring line of sight, rocket launchers. Outside of the sappers... surprisingly, Tull's crew is not evasive.
Yeah.
Blasts can hurt them. So picking out the weakest model that's just outside of the bubble can be deadly. Armor. Outside of the Hexbow shenanigans, which I would say otherwise is... If they don't bring the upgrade, Tull does have an issue with armor.
That is true.
And healing. Because Kingswall has a high damage track and Tull has a high damage track. Other than that, you're looking at top end 4 damage. Watson can get to 5 on his rifle, but it's stat 5 and it's like the weakest attack.
And in all honesty, if the Kingswall is forced to fight something that has a hard wound or just even stone use, it's very difficult for him to get up to that higher damage track. And he's got, what is it, 235, I think?
246 on his fists.
Given the fact that if you bring him to Nags, he's usually going to get that 2, he doesn't hit that hard. He doesn't necessarily trade well with things that do like min 3, especially if they can get through his armor. So if you have to lock the Kingswall down, if you can do it with something that can take his, if like a single model that you can be supported from at least 3 to 4 inches away from by the rest of your crew, I feel like you could lock down the Kingswall with something that is equally tanky and does more damage.
Yeah.
You may not kill
Kingswall.
You may not kill the Kingswall because the guy's defense 7, but at least you can keep him busy.
Willpower is outside of Tull Artillerist. Willpower is the lower stat for the majority of all the models.
I think it's 5 across the board, except for Artillerist Toll, and Dead Silent has 6, but I think literally everyone else has 5 or less.
The things I've struggled with the most, Bayou, Zoraida.
Yeah, I can see that.
Obeys in general, because usually I'm relying on Laugh Off to keep my crew
together
where they want to be. Obeying a rocketeer to charge my own models to misplace and get them out of the bubble is a thing.
I can see that.
Oh, not out of the bubble, but just in general, anytime my models are attacking themselves, I believe we played it right. It's been a minute since it's happened, but the Kingswall, his bonus, I'm looking it up right now, just to make sure I'm going to say this correctly.
The Kingswall's bonus?
No, his aura.
Oh, okay.
For the Kingswall.
Enemy models?
Does that affect... Yeah, enemy models. So
yeah, even if
your
it's
own models are obeyed...
They won't have negs.
It's still a friendly model.
Yeah.
So, obeying your stuff to attack your own things, they're not getting those negatives.
Yeah.
Masaki 2 gets lots of shadow markers that you then have to spend AP to deal with.
Yeah.
Because anytime you're using Heat of Battle, it's generating... That ability is generating another effect. And then she can throw a Toto in your face or have it hunt down, you know, whatever random thing it needs to be. They also have access to Torikage with stealth. Stealth hurts.
Stealth can be difficult.
Terrifying can be hard.
That's what I haven't had to deal with yet, but I'm very afraid of. Like, except for Toll himself, they are going to have to do like sevens or eights to get past high tier terrifying models, and that's a lot of problems.
So Pandora's crew, mm-hmm. manipulative and terrifying.
Manipulative, I think.
Jackdaw.
I think manipulative they can probably get past pretty easy between the King's Wall, stopping negatives, and the fact that they can kind of focus spam with their with the heat of battle. But terrifying, they can't do that with. So yeah, I think
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Pandora and Jackdaw are going to be a problem. Honestly, against Jackdaw, I've considered just putting a coat on Luisa and having her be the tank, because she may be relatively low defense, but she's high movement and can't be staggered. So
there are things to watch out for. Yeah. I will say the Pigapult. If you're in Bayou, it's 7 stones, but the totems are move 4 and 3 wounds. The Pigapult with 1 activation... early on, considering it's 18 versus 18, but can destroy those totems. If you have something long range like that that affects things, I've lost both my totems in 1 activation to the Pigapult launching a piglet at them.
Oh, because it'll do 1 for the hit, 1 for the land, and then the piglet exploding?
Then they blow up and 2 damage, I think is what it was.
Okay, because the...
Either way, I know I've lost them.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but... Because you'd have to do... Basically, you had... Unless you have armor pin, you pretty much have to hit them 3 times, because they do have that armor 2. But yeah, if you have some way of doing very long-range AoE, you can get rid of those pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a little bit of effort, but if you get rid of them, that's the card draw, all that cycling to fuel heat of battle, and the extra TN... from bombardment is gone.
And
extra healing's gone.
The extra shots that you're just having to deal with. I mean, stat 4 is not great, but it's just 4 more shots if they really want that. That's 4 more cards you gotta flip. And the recalibration actually comes up more than I thought it would, but in my experience.
Recalibration is almost every turn I'm moving either a scheme marker or an artillery marker, and then firing.
Right.
Usually.
Mm-hmm. I've had them move up to try and get some healing up, but usually it's firing. Especially since they can usually stick back and be safe if you got artillery markers in the right place, because half of their stuff ignores loss anyway, especially if you're next to the artillery markers. And they may not ignore cover or concealment, but if you're next to an artillery marker, they just choose to ignore loss, and you don't get any of that, unless you've got like stuttering exhaust or something like that.
Bio again, Skeeters. Now, concealment isn't great, because then I just found myself focusing and shooting.
Yeah. Which, I mean, on a 1-2-3 isn't the most terrifying thing, but it is, if you get severe, it's a 3 damage to 1 and then a blast 2 off of that model. It's not nothing. Especially after a free totem.
The stealth is definitely the hard thing to deal with, because a lot of the benefits that you get out of Tull is being able to alpha first no matter what opponent you're going into. Because you have longer range, and so they are forced to just come at you right away. As soon as they move that model up, you can focus fire it down.
Yeah. I will say, I did just think of a interaction that would probably be good for someone going against Toll if they're in guild. Because I only encountered this when playing Perdita 2, not Toll, but I think it could work just as well. If you can get a Gatling Gunner, they have the basically area stealth they can put out. Trying to remember exactly.
Yeah, it's on their lovely action.
Which one is it? Dig the Trenches. And I mean, friendly models cannot be within range within 3, cannot be targeted by enemy models more than 6 inches away. So, if you are in guild, the Gatling Gunner may not be the worst choice.
There are things out there that can go against this crew. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Nephilim, I think, are a good counter, like Broodmother, that will just drop a tot in your face and let it explode over and over again into your death bubble.
Yeah.
And then having access to Matures and the Cavern Nephilim, which actually have stealth and regen and blasts onto lots of things.
I would say the only the only risk I could see from Broodmother is the fact that every time I've fought her so far, she starts out clumped, and that could be risky into with Judd and Honey around, because if they drop that marker, you could have an awful lot of move tools.
Yes. And potentially... They're not perfect.
No, but it yes, if you can spread out before they can get you too bad. And a lot of his pulse damage and stuff either is Toll having to get way out in front to try and get within 10, which is a risky prospect into Nephilim in the first place, or it's at the end of the turn with his artillery markers. Otherwise, it's kind of Judd and Honey, and they don't have a lot of pulse damage outside of Judd and Honey and Toll himself.
It's all on blast, so they have to be able to hit, which is why, again, I'll say my hardest game, Sarita, Gups, and Silurids, and just they out-scheme the crap out of me until I finally got close enough to start doing a fair amount of damage. Now, Sarita herself is the weak point. Right. You're just getting as many focused hits on her as possible.
Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to get to her when the King's Wall is being ordered to charge back into your own pack lines.
Yes.
Against her, I might actually consider more smaller models, just so that they can counter some of the Silurids and Gups, because they may have stealth, which counters Toll pretty hard, but they're not the best models outside of that. So, I mean, no, Rocketeers... Rocketeers would have
a super schemey pool, not a killy pool. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Rocketeers could have a field day flipping Gups all day at size 1, which would be a really funny visual, actually. Just a dude in a rocket pack just flinging baby Gups everywhere.
Poor Gups.
And
then status effects. If you have ways to put out all those status effects, the distracted, stunned... Slow
is gonna
any
slow
of those
hurts.
Types of things. There is not a lot of condition removal ways to get rid of it in the crew. You have assist off of John Watson for some of those effects, but
then otherwise you have move four totems that have to try and trundle up after the crew trying to catch up to get rid of conditions, which that's my biggest trouble getting rid of conditions is the fact that the totems, you either don't want them to start moving up because they're far from invincible. Harder to kill than some things would like, but they're not invincible by any means. And they have a range 2 on the condition removal, which is pretty close.
Very, very, very small.
And if you got them moved up with the death ball, then they can be got, because they're still only defense 4 and 3 wounds. So any amount of pulse damage or blasts or anything like that is going to kill them pretty quick. I think one of my hardest games was against Nelly. I think I honestly think one of the reasons I took that is because my opponent did not know exactly how to counter Toll yet. Because her pulse distracted, did you get distracted, gain stunned now too? It takes a lot of the teeth out of Toll's stuff. Watson can't get his take two and call me in the morning. Toll can't get his extra pulse damage. The King's Ball can't daze. Like, stunned sucks. Although, I can have yet to find a crew where stun doesn't suck.
I'll find Asami also was the old tactic, the Oni Bombs with Asami. Because they're running in, they're going to use their flicker and then just the auto damage. So they're getting around those negatives to hit. And they have the positive on damage. So they're getting in there, doing a bunch, and then blowing up.
Yeah.
That can be tough to deal with, especially since it's rinse and reuse, and they also can sometimes definitely still outpace you with Tengu and a few other things if you can keep them away, because they have flight, so your Rocketeers can't hit them.
True, yeah.
So, at things with flight, Tull does hate, because those Rocketeers, which are so much utility, lose a lot of that utility when they can't actually attack and mismove models. So, I guess what I'm saying is we keep hitting on this. There are counters to Tull, just no one has fully figured out the best way to do it all in one package yet.
And I don't think, and at no point do I think even his worst matchups is Tull ever out. Like, he's got at best you're going to have an even chance, because right now I think he is a little over.
Yes.
So, but there are definitely ways to at least match him.
I still think there are stronger options out there, even though Tull seems super amazing.
Mm-hmm. He has a lot of things he can do. He has a lot of variation, a lot of things that he can, he can change tacks a lot between just his own heavy salvo and grenade launcher. He can do damage or throw or control. King's Wall can punch or daze. He has a lot of things he can do, but he also has a lot of things he desperately does not like. So, but yeah, I would say I haven't seen that much about other Burns model, not Burns, Madness models, except for Damien, but obviously he's been out for a while, so.
I've seen a lot of the Clampets.
Okay.
I would say the Clampets get the raw end of the deal, mostly when going into Tull, but the Clampets are a lot of fun to play against and to play.
I haven't seen him on the table yet, but I have been looking at them a lot. One of my friends, who was also at the tournament, John, really is a Bayou main. Like, just has never not played Bayou. Like, anytime he goes to any other faction, he just doesn't find it as fun. But he's been looking at Clampets a lot. They seem fun. They seem like they might struggle a little bit against things that can get through armor easily. Because a couple of your models rely almost exclusively on armor to actually... At least that's been my experience. I haven't seen them on table yet. Or that's been my impression.
But I think Tiri, the one Tiri player that I played as Tull, got unlucky, I will say. We misplayed a couple of things, but Iron Matron getting tossed up into whatever needs to die first.
That and model scares kind
of throwing
me.
Activation orders out of the way. She is such a deadly threat, and the key is not to put her too far up, because that's what he did. He left the full safety of, like, Parson and the rest of the crew, and I was able to focus her down. But
Now, the fact that you can just...
Yeah, that crew could be bad.
Yeah, the fact that you can give her fast and then shove her into where she needs to be and just get a bunch of great sword attacks is a lot.
With positives.
Yeah.
On, like, double positive on damage.
Yeah, no, it's... That is the there's a lot of good things out of the Bygone. That model right there scares me the most.
I would say First Light is an issue, but think Tull has the ability to kind of neutralize First Light from range.
Yeah, so. I would agree. She's gonna get focused down because she's not that tanky. She just likes to hide in the back. So as soon as you can actually get at her, she's probably not gonna last too long. Parsons is scary, but I don't think he has the resilience to stand up to how scary he is. He draws aggro he can't keep.
Correct.
But if you can keep the focus on something else until he can get in and start doing his work, he can also be... Also, I haven't seen it on the board, but my brother plays has been trying out Bygone, just like testing it out at our local game store. Ket seems to be a good pick for just moving your entire crew... saving AP by shoving him up the board. I think that was Ket.
He has the pulse or shockwave that moves everything. But so, we're digressing a little bit.
That's true, yeah. Sorry.
But this was about Tull.
Yes.
And I guess getting back to it, it is just like anything. We will both agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you will after I say this. He is overtuned.
Yes.
He is a little bit overpowered. But there's so many abilities and so many actions. A good Tull player, you're going to have trouble against.
Yes.
But there are ways to get, I guess, a level playing field almost with Tull by using the things that he cannot stand.
Non-assistable condition removal, and if you can do it, just focus down damage on his important models and spread out. I think those are the big keys. Don't try to fight him in a straight up fight because the wall and the Watson are good. But if you can make him like spread out and can't keep him from balling and just run schemes around him, he's going to have trouble trying to keep up. I think a lot of AP to deal with, but at the same time, his models outside of that, except for the Rocketeer and maybe Luisa, are not super quick. I'd really rather
there is movement, yeah. but
They'd really rather use those extra AP on swings or something else like that, not trying to catch you.
Yeah, they really need it to. Without those extra actions, they're not doing the damage into other crews.
I would agree. I actually think without
heat, it's lots of min twos.
With heat of battle, I think that they are a bit much right now. Without it, I think they might be. If you just get rid of heat of battle as an ability, they would probably be less than a lot of crews. So, but it is a very good keyword ability.
I was sad. I will say when I first seen this crew, mm-hmm. I thought they missed the mark on fluff wise just a little bit, because I was like, oh, if only the sappers were had the spotter upgrade, or like were the spotter to be just fluff wise. Artillery used a lot of triangulation mm-hmm. in reality,
right?
Post modern days where we have drones and everything, but even the most recent 70s. A lot of artillery fire had to have someone saying, yes, it's at this coordinate. So someone else had to move in quicker. So I thought fluff-wise they missed it by not having like the sappers drop like a blow-it-to-hell marker that counted as artillery.
Mm-hmm.
Or something where they could only drop one of them. So I was like, oh, that could have been super fluffy and cool.
Right. Have a spotter that instead of a sapper kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could agree. Because the fact that Tull does all of that pretty much self-contained is... means that he doesn't, like, all of his crew like using his assault markers, which only kind of makes sense because they're supposed to be where the artillery is going to hit, and acting around that seems risky. I think it might, I don't know if it would have been good, but I think it might have been more accurate to the fluff if the King's Wall ignored at least the artillery blasts, but they hurt some of his other models, except for maybe like sappers in the wall. Because fluff wise, the wall, Tull likes the guy riding in the wall because he can walk into a danger close entirely barrage and walk back out. So
yeah, I was like, they gave him a demise ability when really I felt like it should have been evasive.
Because
he's supposed to be the guy just sitting under the artillery fire.
Right. So yeah, I think that lore to rules wise, they might have missed it a little bit, but I do love the way the crew plays. I kind of wish they weren't overtooled, because everyone's going to be rolling their eyes every time I play Tull. But I'd play them if they were less powerful, just because I love the play style and I love the lore and the style of the models.
I'd say I am right there with you, which is honestly, we talked about before this. Everyone listening, the big reason we're putting this out there is because yes, they are great, but we're trying to give everyone the ideas because we love playing them so much. Find the ways to counter it so that it isn't that groan every time you see them on the other side of the table.
Also, one more thing that I think that Tull has over a lot of other crews, he has two tiny cute animals in on his models. He has the cat and the dog.
Yes, which is all my bases for my tool time crew mm-hmm. are going to have some sort of probably household animal. I'm searching for them.
I fully support this.
They will all have little cute animals mm-hmm. on their bases.
As you should. Some sort of small fuzzy animal riding on the back of Luis's moped or whatever it is would be great.
Yeah, you can even if asked to, I put a little parakeet on something, mm-hmm. like that's going to be tiny and hard to paint. But some sort of cool mm-hmm. little pet on everybody's base.
A tiny little, like you said, like a parakeet or something, like on the fuses for Judd and Honey's rocket the Honey's rocket launcher. That I think that's what you should probably put there. There's a tiny little bird on the fuse. I don't know. Yeah, I fully support any of you part of that.
Well, who knows when we'll see them? Because right now we got through March and out right now, and they're not on the list yet. But
I think
when they do come out, these are amazing models.
Yes, I kind of want them to make them more like high B to A tier. That way, I can play them without people getting groaning every time. But because I will play them no matter what state they get into. I think unless they just hit them so hard with the Nerf bat, they're unplayable.
Unless they play the Yasunur card and just go, okay, well, everything changed. You're horrible now.
I pray they don't do that. Because I do want to play them, and I want to feel good about playing them, but I just don't want to feel bad about playing them.
They need to hit Damien first.
Yeah, please. Please. Damien 2 is so gross.
But to everyone out there, I know we're hit a little over an hour now.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this helps out. I mean, if you love the fluff and love Tull, play them. Mm-hmm. We didn't give you many tips or tricks, but I do plan on putting out a couple of either mini-sodes or videos on the our YouTube part that actually shows things like the Judd and Honey second activation, corner deployment, how you would do that, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout out to Trey. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We did lose James here today. We had some technical issues, so it was just the two of us. But thanks for listening, guys, and keep on playing.